Welcome to Hyperlocal, a podcast dedicated to inspiring economic developers, job creators, and community champions. Our mission is to bring you real-world stories, proven strategies, and game-changing projects using local solutions and global perspectives. We've had incredible guests on the show, and we're just warming up. Now let's get into it. Stephanie Crilly is a relationship master, steering Canada's largest provincial economic development association forward. As executive director of the Economic Developers Council of Ontario, EDCO, she leads with passion, understands the importance of relationships, and continually inspires us to make a difference in our communities. In this episode of Hyperlocal, we unpack EDCO's mission, programs and the upcoming conference, building relationships and partnerships for community impact, monthly trade and tariff roundtables, actionable advice for new economic developers, and the importance of finding your passion, investing in education, and grabbing opportunities. Now let's get into it. Good morning, Stephanie. Thank you so much for joining us on Hyperlocal today.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, no problem. It's a real pleasure to have you here. And I think our listeners are going to get a lot from our discussion today. But let's jump right into things. I know when I meet with folks, I always wonder, you know, who is this person? How did they get where they are? And me, as a bit of a nerd, I like to watch a lot of movies. So that origin story, I think, is very important. And I think that really does two things. It kind of gives people a better understanding of who they're listening to or talking to or in these positions of power. But also it gives them hope, you know, if they're just starting off in their career and they look up to someone like yourself that's doing such great things and they see like, oh my goodness, like, there's no way I could ever do that. And then it allows them to see, hey, like, there's a story here. Like, it's possible you were able to do these things in your life. So maybe we'll hop right into that. You currently run the largest provincial economic development association in Canada, which is phenomenal. And I'm curious about, you know, from your time going back in history as an economic development assistant in the township of Essa, to your role as a community improvement coordinator for the Hanover Chamber of Commerce, and now as the executive director of the Economic Developers Council of Ontario. It's some pretty phenomenal stuff. I'm curious, what sparked your passion for economic development, and how did this journey that you've been on lead you to where you are today?
Well, I have to say, I've often referred to my career as serendipity. Each step has happened exactly when it was meant to happen. And like many others have said, I feel like I fell into economic development and that it was meant to be. My educational background is in tourism. I worked in the hospitality field for a couple of years and then realized I really didn't want to work evenings and weekends forever. My passion was always event planning, which is how I ended up in my first economic development role at the Township of Essa. I'd been coordinating events for youth in South Simcoe, presenting entrepreneurship as a viable career path. And through that position, I was hired in Essa and had my first taste of economic development. And that's really where the passion kind of started. My next step was going to the Hanover Project Center, which was run by the Hanover Chamber of Commerce and was a collaboration with the Hanover Chamber of Commerce, the Hanover Downtown Improvement Area, and the town of Hanover Economic Development Committee. It was before they had an economic development position with the town. So I executed tourism and economic development initiatives for the town of Hanover. And that included business promotions and events. We established the Hanover Sights and Sounds Festival, and it was a Festivals and Events Ontario award winner, including being listed as a top 100 event in Ontario for a number of years. And this is where I learned so much about economic development through the many programs that the now named Ministry of Rural Affairs provided, such as BR&E, the First Impressions Downtown Studies, among other programs. That afforded me the opportunity to learn more. I led the Hanover's first business retention and expansion study, and that led into a downtown revitalization. You know, these Ministry of Rural Affairs programs are so instrumental in rural economic development and offer great supports for staff and council to work with their business community. I really feel like base of economic development is relationship building, and that tends to be one of my strengths. Following working in Hanover, I had an opportunity to work at the Ontario Lottery and Gaming Corporation at the Hanover site, where I was the customer relations supervisor, and I was developing marketing programs for the Hanover site. And I learned a lot about membership and solicitation, retention, augmentation. This was a great experience. And then I wanted to get back into community-based work. So I went to the Bruce County Museum and Cultural Center, and I was their marketing coordinator for a number of years. Through the pandemic, I found working remotely was something that I really excelled at. I really enjoyed the work-life balance that that environment provided. And like every other career move, I found the project coordinator position for EDCO. And once I started working at EDCO under the previous CEO, Heather Lalonde, she was such an instrumental mentor. She was a wonderful manager and really helped me see the growth path. And I wasn't in the position long when I knew that I'd found my job. This was, somewhere I could be very passionate. I really enjoyed the organization. I love the board of directors and I love the movement of EDCO. And so when Heather tendered her resignation, the board entrusted me with the executive director role. This board of directors is such an amazing group of people. They're mentors, they're friends, and they are so supportive of EDCO as an organization and see my vision and support plans that I bring forward. I would be remiss if I did not mention that the reason I have seen such growth in my career is because of the support I have received from my parents and my friends. I was a single mom for the majority of my daughter's life. And when you're raising children, it truly takes a village. And when you're a career-driven single mom, that village is critically important to your growth and your child's life. And I've been so fortunate to have the tribe of people behind me that have supported me in my endeavors, while also supporting my daughter. She's grown and is chasing her own life goals. She's now 24, graduated with a BA in child health and a minor in psychology. And she's now finishing her accelerated nursing degree and master's program at Brock University. And our village has truly been so instrumental in supporting us and allowing us both to succeed for myself and my career, and for her to develop and learn and build her own career.
Wow, that's incredible, Stephanie. And thank you so much for opening up and sharing that. I think that's really powerful, and to show what a success you've been through that process, and also that support from the community. And I think as a new father myself, it's really does take a village. And as you
It
know,
really
with
does.
children, there's so many moments where it's like you just want to pull your hair out and you're not sure, or you're looking towards the future and like, what am I going to do in this situation, or when this happens? And I think it's really commendable that you had those folks, and that they were supporting you through that journey, and also for your daughter. Holy, she sounds like an absolute superstar. You must be extremely proud of her.
I am extremely proud, yes.
And Stephanie, just for folks who don't know, I know you've mentioned EDCO a few times, and being the executive director, I was curious if you could just tell us, for those who are, unaware, what EDCO is, and a little bit about, who's involved with it, what it does, and maybe some of the programs that it offers.
Absolutely. I love talking about EDCO. So the Economic Developers Council of Ontario is a membership-based not-for-profit organization. We've been in existence since 1957. EDCO is also the largest provincial association for economic developers, serving over 1,300 members in Ontario. So EDCO works closely with partner organizations, which include TIO, OBEA, EDAC, and the other provincial economic developers associations. We align with our provincial ministries and federal agencies. And most recently, we're working collaboratively with OFNIDA, the Ontario First Nations Economic Development Association, to find synergies where we can collaborate and learn from one another. And it's kind of cool because one of our new initiatives is that the board of directors have recently established a First Nations community membership. And this is an important step towards reconciliation. This dedicated membership category acknowledges First Nations as distinct economic and governance entities and not just rights holders. EDCO offers a number of professional development opportunities throughout the year. Kicks off with our annual conference the first week of February. We host four regional events where we visit the four corners of Ontario, hosting a full day of events with a regional host that designs and leads the programming. And this year, we created the Big City Leaders Forum, listening to our members and working to offer professional development opportunities for our Big City members. In addition to these events, we host our mentorship program. And as we were chatting before, you are part of the mentorship program, where we match experienced economic development professionals with new practitioners to assist them in their career goals and opportunities to grow. As you also know, EDCO offers a scholarship program, for members to continue their education, being a recipient of this program last year. And then finally, the Bright Ideas competition, of which you are also very familiar, having participated in one last year's competition. And this program is a fantastic opportunity for EDCO members to work on a team for a year with colleagues from across the province. And they develop a project and provide resources and key learnings for the industry. Those are shared on our website and live there as the final documents and also present at the EDCO conference. We've also proposed that this become a national competition with EDAC, and we're working through some of those ideas to see this competition go across the country, which would be very cool for our members and for the participants. Advocacy is something that EDCO has shied away from in the past. However, listening to our members, we are taking an active role in developing critical relationships with provincial ministries and federal agencies. And most recently, EDCO hosted our first Parliament Hill Day with the Board of Directors meeting federal ministers and MPs in Ottawa at the end of October. And we'll be back at Queen's Park at the first week of May to meet with ministers and MPPs during Economic Developers Week. And that's kind of a good overview of the programs that EDCO offers throughout the year.
That's phenomenal. And you definitely made me sound like a super EDCO
You
nerd.
are a super EDCO member star.
I extremely appreciate that. And yeah, I gotta tell you, just from my experience the last I think it's been a couple of years now. It's been phenomenal. It's really opened my eyes, and I would say very much the year one and year two programs really catapulted me to get more involved with that. And every step of the way where I've got involved with the mentorship program, it's just been phenomenal. And especially somebody who's not directly from the industry, I think that's such a good opportunity to kind of bring those worlds together and to get some of that one-on-one advice and experience and ability to ask questions and learn from folks who have been in the industry and understand what's going on. And through the Bright Ideas competition, like holy mackerel, what an experience. Like I think it was around 10 months or so with all the planning and getting things together and the ability to go and be on stage at a conference that I had never been to before was extremely phenomenal. So it's great. And then I'm also super thankful for the scholarship from EDCO to pursue my master's in economic development and innovation. Really thankful for that and learning so much and just expanding. And yeah, it's been an adventure, and I really appreciate the shout out there. I feel like I need an EDCO tattoo.
Exactly, right? Well, and it's leveraging those relationships. Like I said, relationships are critically important in this industry, not only in your own community, but across the province. The one thing I find about EDCO members is their willingness to share and learn from each other. The egos get left at the door, so to speak, and everybody wants everyone else to succeed. So creating those relationships and the path that you've taken by participating in those EDCO programs, that'll follow you through all the way in your career, which I think is such a great thing. And yeah, you're a success story for EDCO membership for sure.
Oh my goodness, you're making me blush. Well, that means so much. That means so much. Thank you. And I think, going back to what you said earlier, and I like the way you phrased it. You said, as a base is relationship building. And I think that's so key. And I know later we're going to get into advice for economic developers and such, but I think that relationship building is so key. And I wish that in school, whether it's elementary school, high school, or even post-secondary programs, I think highlighting that more and spending some time on like, hey, like how do you actually build a relationship with people? Whether that's a personal relationship with your friends or with a partner, but especially in the professional workplace, I think that's really key. And it's something that we just assume that everybody knows, but I do think that is a special skill in all in itself. And it's pretty clear from listening to you that you have that.
Thank you.
Yeah, no problem. And I know you touched a little bit about other associations and such, and some of the different provincial associations. I'm curious, different perspectives and what's going on in the world right now. And I'm curious, what you're hearing from EDCO members or some of these other provincial associations, whether it's, the ones from Ontario or across the country, in regards to kind of the state of the world, not to put too
Yeah.
much pressure on you.
Oh, thanks. Yeah. Well, so with EDCO members, we've been offering a trade and tariff roundtable discussion on a monthly basis. We usually have a moderator that gives kind of a synopsis of where we are, because as we all know, it's ever changing and nothing is really stable when it comes to trade with the US. Our government officials on provincially and federally have had to, pivot and make changes and look to new markets, as have all of the businesses that are affected. So through these trade and tariff roundtables, we've really been able to hear from our members and from across the province how people are feeling, and it's really different perspectives from across the board. There are many communities reporting that their manufacturing community are stable. They were a little nervous at the start, but now that things, have kind of stabilized in the way that they know if it's going to affect their industry or not, we're hearing of investment planning and businesses retaining and expanding in the communities. And then, of course, there's the other side of things where there's areas that are being hit harder, specifically in automotive and in steel, and they're having the current climate it's difficult to navigate, and that's where those provincial and federal programs are coming in that are really assisting those areas to diversify, find new markets, and to kind of weather the storm. So there's not a one size fits all. We've chatted with the provincial associations across the board to kind of get a temper or a temperature of how everyone is doing, and it is really a mixed bag, because I think it depends on your community's dependency on certain sectors. But it also sounds like those areas are, finding their path forward, utilizing the programs that are there to help, and looking to diversify their markets, which is a great news story. Our tourism industry is actually done very well. It's succeeded this last year. The numbers are strong from the 2025 peak travel periods, which is a wonderful thing and shows how important tourism is to economic development. It's a bit of a it's a stable in this certain climate that we're experiencing right now. And to see the focus on local, but of course, being mindful that local can also mean supporting a US company. The cucumbers may be grown in southern Ontario and then taken across the border to become pickles. So you want to be wise about what you're maybe cutting out on a personal level, and ensuring that you're still supporting our Canadian manufacturers and Canadian growers in that situation.
Very cool. You said a lot there, but I gotta say, on a funny note, I do love pickles, so that gave me a lot to think about. But in all seriousness, I think that interconnectivity that you've highlighted there between different industries, but also across the province, different communities, and across the country, that and not having a one size fits all, I think is so important, because a lot of times in government, folks think, oh, here's the solution. We're gonna toss this Band-Aid on, and it'll make everything good. Well, that might be okay in a certain sized community, but in others that might have a really detrimental effect. So I think looking at it from a very high level perspective, and understanding that there's very, specific differences between some of these different communities, I think it's just something I wanted to underline.
Yeah, and hitting on that, economic development is very different from community to community. It's not a, and I think that's where it becomes difficult in in making elected officials or even your family understand what you're doing, because there isn't just one job description that fits all of economic development. Each community has different needs and what they're doing, and I think that's vitally important for everyone to remember that economic development is not a cookie cutter. There's not a set job description. It really depends on the community and the businesses in that community and what the needs are.
I love that. And it's interesting. I think back to a conversation I had with Brock before, and he was telling me about someone he knew that is now in economic development, and they had been in the fashion industry. And I think that's amazing. And the more and more people I chat to from different areas, you know, that the word of happenstance just
Yeah.
sounds out like a big gong getting hit, because there's so many unique folks from all different areas that are coming into economic development. And I think that is such a strength. Compared to some industries where it's everyone is exactly the same, you know, went to school for the same thing. And then in turn, a lot of them end up thinking the same. And I think that you know, can be good sometimes, but in other circumstances, it really limits that potential and that creativity. And so I think we have a really strong sector here in economic development from, you know, folks across the board that bring different perspectives to the table and are able to advance our communities further.
Yeah, I agree completely.
And speaking of success and collaboration, I know that economic development thrives on partnerships. I was curious, you know, with all your experience, if you could share a st specific story of maybe a successful collaboration and, you know, if it was from a municipality or a business or from a different organization, and tell me a little bit how that drove some significant community impact.
Yeah, you know what? Collaboration is just so incredibly important when you're working on anything. As I've said, I truly believe that when we work together collaboratively, we can achieve grand results. And you know, each year with the EDCO Awards of Excellence program, we get to see how these collaborations have impacted communities across this wonderful province. It is really difficult to name just one example where there were so many amazing projects happening in all capacities. You know, I think locally, in my experience working in the town of Hanover, amalgamation hit small communities hard. It was difficult because you have all of these historical boundaries and ideas and thoughts. And when you start breaking down those boundaries, you need to come together as a community. And, you know, the town of Hanover and West Grey have been fighting over boundary issues for as long as I can remember. And they've just recently come together and found a plan where Hanover will acquire land that's in West Grey. And there's, you know, funds being passed back and forth. And it's just for the greater good. It was something that is just recent. It's not finalized. It's happening right now. And I just love to see that work come together. I've often referred to Belinda Wett Graham in the town of Minto when I speak about my local thoughts on this area. And seeing the town of Minto, you know, three different communities, they've come together as one community and they now function as one community. And they are definitely a success story when it comes from, you know, the amalgamations of the early 2000s and how a community can do it right. Belinda's had wonderful councillors and mayors who have supported economic development in that area, and she has done some fantastic work to really elevate and bring that community together. So I think of them automatically as a success story on collaboration.
Amazing, amazing. And for anyone who's listening that wants to hear more about that specifically, I do have an interview with Belinda where we talked about the Move to Minto campaign and some of the other stuff. So feel free to check that out. But yeah, I got to say, she is an absolute superstar and, you know, past president of EDCO. And just like just chatting with her, just the nicest human ever.
She really is. I've had the good fortune of working with her for close to 20 years. We used to attend the Festivals and Events Ontario conference together annually when I was with the Hanover Chamber of Commerce. And we, you know, watching her and to see the work that she's done in that community. And I mean, of course, it's close to where I live, so it's easy to see. She is a superstar.
Awesome. That's great. And I know you mentioned there's definitely conferences that you folks used to attend. I was curious if you could tell us a bit about the EDCO conference that's coming up and some details for folks who are listening. Maybe there's some people who haven't attended before, some folks who are on the fence whether they want to go or not. Maybe you just let us know a little bit about what they can expect.
People who haven't attended the EDCO conference. What? I'm joking. I'm really excited about this conference, and it's always held the first week of February in downtown Toronto. We're back at the Weston Harbor Castle for our second year there, and it's going to be Monday, February 2nd to Wednesday, February 4th. Slight date adjustment there. We've usually been Tuesday to Thursday, and we've moved it Monday to Wednesday this year. The planning is coming together so well. We have such a dynamic committee driving the agenda and working with presenters to bring a timely and requested sessions to the program this year. Last year, we introduced roundtable discussions, and we're continuing with those and expanding. So we'll have three different times to have those roundtable discussions with the Northern Economic Developers, Rural Economic Developers, and Big City Leaders. We have dynamic keynote speakers, including Manjit Minhas from the Dragon's Den, Linda Nazareth, an economist out of Toronto, who has written a book. And then, of course, Brock Dickinson is going to be closing out the conference. We're working with ministers to bring back the fireside chat again this year. We had a bit of a pause last year because of the writ falling right before the conference, but we're working to bring that element back. And then, of course, our popular Meet the Experts session will be happening with a bit of a spin on it. It won't be about investment attraction this year. We're bringing in past EDCO Awards of Excellence winners to talk about the projects and the work that they've been doing. The schedule and the agenda is developed thoroughly from the feedback we receive from the membership. So we always have a survey that follows the conference, and we use that information to guide how we're going to proceed in the future years. So we've got some really great sessions happening, including global gains, crafting your FDI strategy, shaping Ontario's tourism future. So we'll be hearing about the Ontario tourism strategy from Andrew at TIO. We've got some sales and service, unlocking economic growth through authentic connection, talking about how to develop in that professional way, business retention and expansion, CIPs, and we have a session coming from OFNIDA, working with First Nations Economic Development. And Moneris is actually coming to do a session about the data, and the consumer spending data and the changes in those data. So I think it's developing to be a really great program that you will not want to miss. And of course, the Bright Ideas competition. This year, that competition is strong. It's the largest cohort ever. So we've had five teams working to develop their reports. They'll be adjudicated later this month. And three of those teams will present their findings and their report at the conference for the delegates to vote on who will be the brightest idea this year. So that's kind of wraps up the conference, and we're looking forward to it as it gets closer. It's really exciting, and a little shout out that the early bird discount for EDCO members is on until December 5th.
Awesome. That is wonderful and basically just touches on everything. So there's something for everybody there. And if you're on the fence, I hope that got you over it. And also just wanted to mention as well, shameless plug, the socials that happen. I think those are absolutely phenomenal. Whether it's kind of that get together on the first initial night or the president's dinner where the awards are given out. I think those are even though they're not, I would say, like formal learning opportunities, I think are a good opportunity to just get around, network, learn from people. And I know my experience in the past has been that's where I find a lot of the little hidden nuggets that you can pick up along the way and apply for future things as well.
Yeah, it's always neat. I always giggle when we do our survey, because one of the questions is, why do you come? Is it to learn or is it to network? And it is 50-50. Those networking opportunities are as equally as important as our educational components. And an element this year. We're actually inviting all of the MPs and MPPs that are in the area to attend the reception on the Tuesday evening, in hopes of collaborating and bringing those elected officials in to have better fulsome conversation in that social atmosphere.
Awesome. I love that. So look, more relationship building. That's
Relationship
perfect.
building, yes.
And I know you've provided a lot of insight today. And I know we have a few and other executive directors who've actually reached out to me that do listen to the podcast, which is phenomenal. And I'm curious for them or for others who are in the field, if you could provide any, executive director tips. It sounds like you're doing such a phenomenal job with EDCO and with the conference and with everything else going on. And I'm sure there's probably a few things that you could share that would benefit some of the others as well.
Well, thank you. Now I'm the one blushing. I think the biggest thing is when you find your passion, work doesn't feel like work. And being able to lean into that passion and drive the results and see how that's evolving is just so awesome. You want to build a deep understanding of the organization, the members, the membership, and their priorities. And that will lead you to identifying authentic opportunities and challenges that will see the biggest benefit. Prioritizing partnerships across organizations, communities, businesses, leaning into those relationships, because I truly feel that's the most fundamental thing in this industry is those relationships, that networking, and being able to pair people together that are looking for the same things or working on the same things for grander results. Prioritize partnerships. I think I said that already, but that's so important. And it build the bridges between sectors, find the common ground and opportunities to collaborate and share your goals. My background is in marketing and event planning, and that leads me to believe in storytelling. So championing your organization's success using data and testimonials to inspire and be on the ground and always listening. I find the most important part for me when I'm attending our EDCO events, being at the conference, it's connecting with our members and really listening to what it is that they're looking for from us so we can continue to support them in their goals and their career, and also finding those connectors to help bring people together that are working on the same things and maybe don't even realize it.
Amazing. I think that building bridges is so important. Obviously in life with infrastructure, because we wouldn't be able to get a lot of places.
Right.
But on a personal note, especially between organizations or industries or even communities, I know you touched on communities and annexation and land and stuff like that. And it's so important during those turbulent times to make sure that those bridges are there and that they're strong so that they can withstand some of these changes, whether it's changes from a tariff war with the United States, or whether it's something handed down from the federal or the provincial government that's going to cause a bit of chaos. It's and if you have those strong structures in place, it's a lot easier to weather this storm, as you mentioned earlier.
Exactly.
So switching gears a little bit, and I know I had kind of give a little snapshot that we're going to chat about this, but I think advice for new economic developers is something that's really important for me, but I also think for a lot of folks out there. And you have a ton of experience in this area, and constantly dealing with folks on the board, but also other members across the province. And I was curious if you could tell us some tips or secrets or however you want to phrase it for someone new to economic development, looking to land their first role, whether that's in a municipality or another level of government or an agency, and what those steps look like and what you think would make the best impact for their careers.
So I gave this a lot of thought when I saw the question. So who am I to give advice? And then I thought about my own past and my own career and I think that it's so important to invest in your education and build your network. When there's opportunities to do, one day training or multi-day training, and don't be the wallflower. Get in and introduce yourself to the people that are there. Build those connections. When opportunities are presented to partake in any kind of training or networking event, definitely grab it. Building your network while learning. so critical. It'll help you excel in your economic development career, and it'll help you learn from each other and have shoulders to lean on when you need a little hand. Take part in mentorship opportunities, whether it be through our program or any other program, formal or informal. I think that's so important because it allows you to bounce ideas off of somebody who's been there and done that, and also to continue to build your network. Work towards your ECDE certification when it comes to specifically economic development, either through TMU or the University of Waterloo. Both offer great programs. Certainly join the Bright Ideas competition. What a great way to learn from your colleagues that are at the same entry level as you for the most part. And you get those valuable certification points for participating. But more important than that, you're getting to learn something about that's critically important and provide resources to the industry. And then when you land the job, if you're not familiar with the area, get aware, learn, join groups, immerse yourself in the community, and be passionate. Find out what makes the area tick, and you will succeed.
Awesome. I think that's amazing. And I know we've covered a lot of stuff today, Stephanie. I'm curious, is there anything missing? Is there something that I didn't ask you about today that we should be talking about that might be of interest to our listeners?
I couldn't think of anything when I came to that question. I was like, I think we've covered it all. So I think your questions were fantastic.
Oh, well, thank you. I know I really appreciate the constructive feedback. That is good. I do have a closing tradition for the podcast, and before I get to that, I just wanted to say thank you again so much for taking the time to meet with me today. I do really appreciate it.
Thank you for inviting me. I appreciate the opportunity, and I've enjoyed this conversation.
Yeah, awesome. That's great to hear. So this mystery question is a little intense, but it's not too terrible. But it sounds kind of dark when you lay it out. So I just wanted to preference that. But when you look back at the end of your life, on your career, on family, on everything that you've done, what is the thing that you want to be known for at the end of the day?
I think I want to be known for being a good person, for being a good mom, for being a good friend, for being a good colleague. I think that, I don't want to be known for my accomplishments per se. I want to be known, when people think of me, think that, oh, she was nice to me, or she helped me in some way, or, my daughter, she was a great mom, and she's given me the wisdom I need to move forward. And for my friends, I hope that I'm a good friend to them. I think that's something that we sometimes lose sight on when we're striving to achieve the career goals or whatever goals you have set outside of relationships. And over the last year, I've really taken an inventory of where I'm at, and I feel that it's so important when I look at my friendships, to see the people who are in my life, to see my family members, and to enjoy the times with them. I think that's more important than any career or material goal.
Beautiful. I think that was so eloquently put, and shows really your character at the end of the day, and what your values are. And I think that really speaks volumes. And I just wanted to say thank you for being a good person, but
Thank you.
also for inspiring others to be a good person as well.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate that. And, closing statement, my door is always open to members and non-members. If they're looking for advice or wanting to see something from the organization, I'm always happy to have a chat and see where we can take it and try and close any gaps that we may have.
Awesome. Well, thank you again, Stephanie, for joining us today.
Thank you so much, Mason.
Thank you for joining us on Hyperlocal. Real stories, real impact, local solutions, and global perspectives. If today sparked an idea, share it with your network and tag us. If you love today's conversation, hit subscribe, leave a review, and share it with that one person who needs to hear it. Thank you so much, and let's keep the momentum going.